This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we're going to be talking about eyes, and local eye doctor, Dr. Craig McCabe, now joins us. Dr. McCabe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you doing today?
I am doing good, and great news is, looks like temperatures have cooled off just a little bit.
And just for a couple days, right?
That's right.
Start to move up later in the week.
It will.
It is August in Tennessee.
Definitely.
Right. With that, with August, we have all of the young ones and older ones returning to school, right? Traffic goes up.
Yeah.
Everyone goes back to school. And also, everyone is huddled a little bit closer together than they were during the summer. And as a result of that, there's more spread of whatever germs they picked up and carried throughout the summer. And so parents will notice that their kids might be bringing home some colds. And with that, they might be bringing home some pink eyes.
Oh.
And I think everyone who has had pink eye before remembers what it was and how uncomfortable it was and how they may have spread it to someone else. And that's why it spreads through the school system so much, is pink eye is very contagious.
And very itchy, too.
Yeah, your eyes get red. They water a lot. Oftentimes, it can be hard to tell it from a bacterial conjunctivitis or even severe allergies. But of course, with the pink eye, your nose doesn't run as much. You don't have that post-nasal drip as much as you do with allergies, but you do have a slightly pink eye that hears a lot, waters a lot, and oftentimes is very uncomfortable to mildly painful.
Yeah, you know, that's something I do not want to live through again. That's one of those things you get as a kid, as a youngster, and it's no fun, but adults can get it very easily too.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's usually spread from kids to adults. And the kids spread it all through their school system. That's why they don't want you at school with pink eye. And the adults then bring it to work or whatever social gatherings they go to. And this time of year, you'll see by the end of the month, you'll know somebody that's had the pink eye. And the main thing is, how do you avoid it? And then if you are unfortunate enough to get it, how do you get rid of it as soon as possible?
Yeah. How do you avoid it?
You got to know how, whether it's a bacteria or a virus or a parasite, whatever it is, how it's spread. You know, some are spread by respiratory droplets like we had with COVID. You know, that was another virus. But this virus is different. This is called adenovirus, and it is spread through direct contact, which is usually you shake hands with somebody or you grab something that they have had, such as a doorknob. Maybe it's a bathroom doorknob. So it could be spread from people that you haven't known, never interacted with. They can leave it on things they touch, countertops, surfaces, knobs, a pen. Maybe it's the steering wheel of your car. And now your spouse gets in and drives the car. So all these kind of things that you may not think about are the way it's spread. And so then they grab that, they get it on their hand, and they rub their eye. So it's really eye to hand, and then either some object as an intermediate or directly hand to eye. And that's how it spreads. So the main way of stopping the spread is simply just to wash your hands or use Purell, something like that, that is an antiseptic to stop the spread of germs.
I'm curious, the hand gel that you can buy at, you know, pretty much any pharmacy, any grocery store, that hand gel that is antibacterial, the ones that you don't use water with, are those that effective in ensuring you don't catch something?
You know what? They really are. They're like 99.9 or 99% effective. The key is that you have to use it frequently. And then, of course, the second thing, if you do have someone in the household with it, Well, then you've got to go through a major wipe down. So you wash everything, the linens, the clothing, the doorknobs, you know, the phones, pens, countertops, all those things that may have been touched.
Okay, so good news there. Those really are very effective, and I guess most of us maybe should be using more of it.
You know what? When we had the COVID days, everyone remembers those. What happened to the influenza or the flu spread those years?
Yeah.
Dramatically plummeted. And that's because we weren't kind of grouping together.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was more neurotic about washing their hands.
That they were. So
that's the proof in the pudding, so to speak, that actually does work quite well.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning, and we do have a text message. By the way, that reminds me, I didn't even say this. You can text us any questions that you may have for the eye doctor, Dr. McCabe. You can text us at 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Now, this question, it says, my son recently went on a camp out with friends and another family, and they had a campfire. And it was during that campfire that my son got something in his eye, not sure what it is, but what dangers are there surrounding campfires and the eyes and kids? Sounds like they should go to the eye doctor.
Yeah, anything you get something to your eye, you know, if it's during those times when you could go see an eye doctor, you should. But if it's causing pain, significant redness, even worse, loss of vision, then you need to get to an emergency room as soon as possible. And one thing they'll do is they'll wash it out just with, you know, saline solution, a pH buffered sterile solution. And if it's a chemical or something like that, then they'll actually measure the pH of the conjunctiva of your eye, and they will keep rinsing out your eye till that pH, if it's not neutral, goes to neutral, you know, a pH of around 7.
You know, you hear pH balanced. You know, you hear about deodorant pH balanced. You hear about nasal wash pH. But what does that stuff mean?
Gosh, well, if you want to know the nitty gritty, the pH is the negative log of the hydronium ion in a solution. And it's basically how much acid a solution has. And the lower the number, the greater the amount of acid, the higher the number, the least amount of acid. So something with a low pH, like sulfuric acid or battery acid, that's going to have a number less than 7. And then something that is basic, which would be like Clorox bleach, something like that, that's going to have a pH higher than 7. And everybody knows that has a pool or a hot tub, they got to keep that pH right or it stings the eye and it bothers them. And so we need a pH that's one pH unit from about 7.4, so 6.4 to 8.4, to not cause damage. And things that are outside that range sting and hurt. So, for example, numbing eye drops that we use in the office, or people are going to get a procedure done, they're going to get a lidocaine or some kind of numbing injection to numb the area before the doctor does whatever. Those often sting for about 20 seconds, and it's kind of ironic that numbing medicine hurts initially, but then after the 20 seconds, you're numb and it doesn't bother you. But the reason it stings to begin with is because it's got a pH that's slightly acidic, and it doesn't matter whether it's an eye drop in your eye or an injection into your skin. You feel that as a stinging sensation, but then after that, it's numb or it doesn't bother you. So the pH is important, that it's pH balanced so that it doesn't hurt you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning. You know, something we brought up and talked about, I guess it was last year, last summer or so, was swimming in swimming pools. And the question I remember it was asked, is it safe to realistically open your eyes underwater, and what should I tell my kids to do or not to do? And of course, you're not going to convince your kids one way or the other to open their eyes in the water or not open them. So I guess let's go back to that, because I'm curious, with saltwater pools versus chlorine pools, Is one safer than the other for the eyes, and are either of them really dangerous in any way?
Well, you know, on the first part, Scott, sure it is. So if you want your kids to open their eyes underwater, just tell them not to, and then they will.
That's right.
And then, of course, vice versa. You know, don't touch that. As soon as you turn your back, they will. That's just a kid being curious.
That's right.
But anyways, what I try to do is, we've got a local pool in Indian Hills where I live or whatever, but I try to find out what day the pool people are coming to do the chemicals. And then I try not to go on that day or the next day. And then after that, they've somewhat diluted out a little bit, and I think you have no fear of that. And then probably the day or two before they do the chemicals, if it's a heavily used pool that's only done once a week, you might want to avoid that day before they do the chemicals too. So say a day before and after, where either the chemicals are too strong or too weak, might be good days to avoid.
All right. That makes sense. And then, you know, salt water versus chlorine, is one better or worse for the eyes?
Well, the salt water that's used in pools is typically less than 1%, usually about 0.5%. And that's just fine. That won't bother you. Now, if you're going to the Dead Sea that has a greater than 5% salt solution, that will bother you. So once again, it's the concentration, but the salt that they use in low salt pools or hot tubs won't bother you. And chlorine will bother you usually the first day that they put it in, because it's at a higher concentration. And, you know, if you're jumping a battery or changing batteries in your car, you know, wear some gloves, thin gloves, what have you, whatever, so that you don't get that on you. And then, of course, you should wear some kind of glasses. Safety glasses, of course, are best, but even sunglasses or something like that to protect you from having splashes of chemicals in your eyes. You know, it's kind of interesting. What would be worse for your eyes if you got an acid splash back in it or a base splash back in it? What do you think, Scott?
I would say the acid.
Yeah, just like everyone would, because acid to us just sounds worse.
It does sound worse.
But it's actually the opposite. A base is worse.
Wow.
Because an acid will get, the chemical name is saponified, but it'll get coagulated by cell membrane proteins of our skin and our body, where a base is able to go through that lipid bilayer of cell membranes, but it's able to penetrate into our bodies much more easily and cause more damage. So a strong base, like a strong Clorox solution and some chemical solutions, are actually much worse than battery acid.
That's interesting. You know, speaking of pools and battery acid and all that stuff, you know, one of my phobias whenever I travel is getting into a hotel hot tub. If the hotel has a hot tub, I you know, I'm talking about next to the swimming pool, I absolutely will not get in it. I just have this weird fear of bacteria and everything possibly in that hot tub. Something about that atmosphere is something I don't want to be a part of, and I'm sure my eyes don't want to be a part of it either. Have you ever had any of those weird phobias being a doctor?
You know, sometimes that's your personal experience.
Yeah.
Maybe you've had some experience with something and it's almost caused a PTSD reaction next time you're around whatever caused the trouble to begin with. And did you ever have a problem in a
I didn't
hot tub by a pool?
No, never did. I guess it's just a fear of bacteria often grows more so in heat. And I know it may not grow in water, but maybe that's just it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And actually, bacteria that infects our body grows best at body temperature. And that's why our bodies, when we get an infection, will develop a fever. And that's part of our body's defense mechanism to fight off the bacteria, because it slows down their doubling rate or reproductive rate, so to speak, where they multiply and thrive, and allows our immune system to do a better job at attacking and getting rid of it. And so actually, low-grade fevers, when you have an infection, can actually be helpful in getting rid of the infection. Or a lot of people would take Tylenol or an Advil or something to try to slow that down. So your body has these defense mechanisms to try to fight it off. And if it's a irritant to your eye, the only thing your body has is to try to wash it out. And that's why your eyes water every time they get irritated.
Makes sense. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us. We have a few text messages to get to, and we will get to those right after this quick break. But Dr. McCabe's office, by the way, is 122 Heritage Park Drive right here in the borough, and that is directly off of Memorial Boulevard. So if anybody wants to set an appointment, I would say call his office, head to his website. His phone number, 615-904-9024. Dr. McCabe, stay with us because we have some more questions for you, and we'll get to those in just a minute. This is The Action Line.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, who offers energy-saving tips during the hot summer months. Schedule heat-related chores like cooking, cleaning, and laundry to early morning or evening hours. For more tips, go to mte.com/myenergyplan.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. One of the things that we've done years ago is we've been able to do our orders, like our pastas and many other items, that we used to be able to put them in large pans, and now we have a catering team that will even deliver it to your home. We can drop it off for you, set it up, or they can come in and pick it up. Look up our catering menu on www.demasrestaurants.com. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
I'm a single mom, and as you can imagine, it's a fight sometimes just to get out the door. But when I need new tires or something's wrong with my car, I need to head to someone I can trust. I go to Tire World.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Tire World. Locally owned and operated.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Our guest today is Dr. Craig McCabe, eye doctor, and we'll take questions at 615-893-1450. And Dr. McCabe, you've been working on eyes for a very long time. How many years have you practiced?
Boy, it's been about 25 years since dinosaurs first roamed the earth.
That's right. So what made you want to focus on eyes in the world of medicine?
Oh, gosh. Boy, that's more than we can get into here. Basically, I started off, I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, and then I ended up in eyes, and I enjoyed that. I did a PhD on generation of the optic nerve and published many papers and just enjoyed doing that and talks. I taught at Vanderbilt for 11 years as an adjunct clinical professor. And just this month, I'd like to thank Nashville Lifestyles Magazine, as they voted me one of the best doctors around. And, you know, just have enjoyed really helping people with their vision. The nice thing about ophthalmology is it's so high tech that we can help most people with most things.
Definitely. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe, and we will head to those text messages now, 615-893-1450, if you'd like to ask a question. But the first one says, my eyes seem to water 24/7. It's embarrassing. What can I do about it?
Well, you would like to say, well, stop it, but that won't work. So you've got to go see your eye doctor, an ophthalmologist who can take care of it, and then they've got to figure out the reason why your eyes are watering. You can have, it's usually a problem in the plumbing, so to speak, when your eyes water constantly, which means that the drain holes called the tear ducts are blocked. And when they're blocked, the tear ducts are what actually what not puts moisture into the eye, but drains it away. So it's like having plug in the bathtub, the water can't get out and it backs up and it'll overflow onto your cheeks. And then sometimes you get hearing, not constantly, but it's intermittently. So for example, you've been reading a lot on the computer a lot, maybe night driving, maybe you've been out in the wind near a fireplace, something that dries your eyes out a lot. Well, drying is an irritation to your eye and it can make them water. So people often say, how can my eyes be dry if they're tearing on me a lot? And that's because, like we said before, it's your only reflex that your eyes have to try to protect themselves. And then sometimes your eyes water from other more important things. It has a cut. It has a foreign body in it. It has an infection like we talked about earlier. If your eyes are watering, the bottom line is you should go see your ophthalmologist and have them figure out what's causing the watering, and then they'll know the appropriate way to treat it.
Sounds good. Next question says, both my mother and father have macular degeneration. The question is it hereditary? What exactly will happen if I get it, and what can I do about it?
Okay. So the last one's the hard one. The first part is the easier part.
All right.
Talk about that. So can it be hereditary? Yes, it can, but usually it's not. But for those people who get it earlier in life and typically more severely, that can have a genetic predisposition. And there are some genetic tests that you can have that show whether or not you're going to get it, but whether you're more likely to get it as you get older. You have the genes for it. But the facts are that 1 out of 10 people over 50 in our country have macular degeneration. And then as we get older, it becomes more prevalent, such that if you're 75 years and older, which didn't used to be a lot of people in our country 50 years ago, but now it is, and it's becoming more so. But anyways, if you're 75 years and older, you have a one out of three incidence or chance of having the macular degeneration. And so it becomes one of the most important of all the diseases as we get older.
One in 10, yeah. That's pretty high number there, that one in 10.
Yeah, that's in the 50s. But if you're 75 and older, it's 1 out of 3. So more
wow.
than triples. Now, what can you kind of help do to keep from getting it? And these are all the things to having a healthy body, a healthy lifestyle. Try to be close to your BMI, you know, a good healthy weight. Try to have your blood pressure, cholesterol, and serum glucose or sugar under good control. Those are the main things that affect the blood flow through your body. Another thing is your diet. So it's actually been shown through large studies that if you follow that Mediterranean diet, which is, I think, the first or second most popular diet in the whole world, that reduces your risk and actually helps to slow down the macular degeneration. And then also, I think it's good to take a regular multiple vitamin once a day, like Centrum Silver or the store brand version. And then you should go see your eye doctor once a year or so, especially if it runs in the family. Have it treated at the earliest possible stage that is suitable for treatment. Now, oftentimes you're in early stages that aren't appropriate yet for significant medical intervention, but you should be taking what's called the AREDS, Age-Related Eye Disease Study 2 vitamins, AREDS 2 vitamins. I think we have the best one in our office called Macular Protection Complete. But anyways, you should take those, and this is per a large U.S. NIH study, which show that they can help slow down macular degeneration by up to 25%. It's not 100%, but when you involve huge numbers of people that have it in our country, this makes a significant benefit to the people of our country. Just to take these macular degeneration vitamins and the Mediterranean diet helps slow it down. And then once your eye doctor does diagnose that you have it, actually new in this last year is we now have some medicines that can help slow down the more severe forms of what's called the dry form of macular degeneration, which 10 times more people have in our country than the worst wet form.
Hmm.
But the goal is to try to slow it down, take care of it in its earlier stages. But if you're one of the unlucky ones that have progressed from the dry form to the wet form, which is 10% of all the people with the dry form, the wet form is the much worse one where there's much worse vision loss typically. Then for the last, 14 years, we've had injections of medications. And probably our listeners may know someone who gets injections in their eyes on a monthly basis or every other month for the wet form of the macular degeneration. And so that kind of takes you through all the different phases there.
Definitely. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us. Next question is, and it starts out all caps, I do not have pink eye, but my eyes have been itching a lot over the past week and a half. I've never had allergies before. What are some things I can do to try to end this problem before actually going to an eye doctor?
Yeah, so the first thing is to take some artificial tear drops, some lubricating, re-wetting drops. As the most common cause of mild eye irritation is a dry eye problem. So you can go to the drugstore, over the counter. The ones I like are called Eyevisia because they are preservative-free. There's other preservative-free forms that don't come in a bottle, that come in little tubes from Sustain, Refresh, TheraTears, all these brand names made in the U.S. are good products that you can feel safe about. You know, we had this really bad thing with these drops from other countries last year that actually caused people to get significant corneal ulcers. Some people lost their eyes, lost their vision, and they were from cheaper non-brand name products. So I would stay with the ones I mentioned, and you use those artificial tear drops 3-4 times a day. And if your issue does not get better in 4 or 5 days, then it's more than just a dry eye problem, and you should go see your eye doc.
Now, I know that text message said, I do not have pink eye, but would somebody be able to say for sure without a shadow of a doubt, hey, this is not pink eye, if their eye's been itching for a week?
I'd say if their eyes are not pink, then they probably have a more mild dry eye problem. But you do not know. Just like I don't know if I get pink eye. It could be from various causes that make our eyes red or the blood vessels larger, injected. And for that reason, you know, it's fine if it's not hurting you, not affecting your vision, not affecting your performance in anything, to use the artificial tear drops frequently for a few days. Now, if that takes care of it, then you know you're having a dry eye problem. And then you got to figure out why you're having the dry eye problem and how to keep that from keeping to happen to you all the time. Because just like this person who texted in, it's no fun to have dry eyes. And it does affect you at work. It affects you if you play sports. It affects you just reading a magazine. It's so common, and we have great treatments for it. That's one of the things we specialize in my office is dry eye treatment. Gosh, I think we probably treat a lot of people in Rutherford County with dry eyes. It's so common. But there's good treatments for it now where we can make you so much better. That it would be the first thing I would try. And if it doesn't take care of it, then make an appointment with a good eye doctor.
All right. Well, let's move on to this next question here. It says, I'm losing my eyesight. And then it goes on. Well, not really. It says, I used to have great vision, but it seems like over the last couple of years, my vision has gotten worse and things have become more blurry, but I really just noticed it yesterday when my son said something to me, joking around, that I couldn't see, and I did notice that things were much more blurry than what I recalled in the past. Could I really be losing my eyesight, or is this just me getting older? Then it says, I am 65 years old.
Right. People don't really lose their eyesight when they don't have a recognized diagnosable disease or issue until they're about 85. And you should have very good vision, 20/20, 20/25 vision, you know, with glasses or contacts by that age. And if you don't sum it up to, well, I'm just getting older. You know, it's old age. There's many things that come with getting older that are highly treatable. And the number one cause that's not an infection or a dry eye problem such like this at that age is cataracts. Now, you may or may not have cataracts, but certainly so many of these things can be diagnosed and treated and you can have better vision. But you got to make that appointment to go see your eye doctor to try to get these things, first of all, diagnosed and then treated. And then you'll be back on your way to better vision.
Absolutely. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning. Only have a few minutes left, but it seems like there's a lot of folks out there who go through life never really getting an eye diagnosis, never really checking their eyesight on a regular basis like they should. And then next thing you know, the first time they do go to the eye doctor, they realize for the first time they really need glasses.
Yeah, well, or they may have some underlying more important issue. And that's because a lot of the changes in eyesight come on gradually with time. And we may not notice it. So like the previous person, you know, their son tells them, or maybe their spouse tells them, and they may say, you can read that? I can't read that. Or why can't I read that? Or, you know, how come you can read that and I can't? And that's because your vision's not as good as it should be, and you haven't seen an eye doctor, and people will say, well, I can see just fine. My eyes don't hurt. And that's one of the worst excuses to not go see any eye doctor. You know, you should go have your annual physical once a year. Make sure everything's okay with your primary care physician. And if you've got a family history of eye diseases or personal history of eye diseases, or you know your eyesight is changing, you should definitely go see the eye doctor. But there's so many things. You know, when you go to see your primary care doctor, they may have a guess about what's wrong, but they don't know. They've got to do blood work or radiology imaging to really confirm what you have. And so if the doctors aren't sure when they see you, you not going to med school and having that education for most of these things, you know, have no clue what it could or could not be. And just because it doesn't hurt you doesn't mean that you don't have an important issue that should be taken care of in the early phase rather than waiting till it's too late.
Again, we've been talking with Dr. Craig McCabe of McCabe Vision Center, online at McCabeVisionCenter.com, and offices right here in Murfreesboro at 122 Heritage Park Drive. Dr. McCabe, as always, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening and all the great texts. We do this once a month, the second Monday of each month at this time. So if you have any other issues, you can either call my office or you can write them down and save them, and we'll talk about them next month. Thank you so much, Scott. Everybody have a great day.
Sounds good.
You've been listening to Dr. Craig McCabe with McCabe Vision Center. McCabe Vision Center is in Murfreesboro at 122 Heritage Park Drive. Their phone number, 615-904-9024. Or find McCabe Vision Center online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. That's McCabeVisionCenter.com.